This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. We're super excited. We have a special guest this evening. You might want to tune in because guess what? There's a secret we need to tell you. Tune in soon.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Bring back memories.
You guys have to hear that.
Is there like a particular dance? Like
there's a little bit of this and that, and a little bit of this and that.
Okay. Yes.
You guys got this.
Yeah. I've been practicing all season.
Yes.
All season.
What's up, you guys? I'm your host, Crystal McLaughlin. We have two other people here tonight. Our regular panelists couldn't come, two of them, Dania and Maite, but we have our lovely Nicole Hutchins.
Hey, guys.
And we also have our lovely guest, is Shaheen Gadir.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. We were super excited to have you here tonight. I mean, there's so many things that we want to question you about, the Shaw's of Sunset and your participation on the show. First and foremost, I would like to ask, how did you get involved with the show? Is it because it came to you on a personal level life and then you got brought into the show, or was it the show kind of sought you out and then it went that way?
You know, so it goes back a while. First of all, MJ and I went to high school together and we were in the same year and we used to be friends. After high school, we kind of drifted in our own directions and I went on to the world of crazy medicine and studying and never having fun. So I lost track with a lot of the world.
Yeah.
And one day I got a call out of nowhere saying that Gigi wanted to come in. And she was coming in for an assessment of her fertility. And that was a few years back. I think that was maybe like 3 or 4 seasons ago.
Okay.
So she came in. And then after that, it just kind of led to like different casts coming in one at a time. And then it's everything that you've kind of seen in this last year that's been the culmination of a lot of really good things that have happened on our show.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah. I was like super excited to see that. MJ, it like worked for MJ like after all this time, because I was a little afraid. I was like, oh my god, I hope it works, you know. I mean, we don't know, at least for me, I can't speak for you, but I don't know enough about fertility specialists or anything in that realm, so it was just like a really nice way to sort of introduce that into, I guess, the reality TV world, right? Making it very friendly.
You know, it's a topic that is so under talked about and unknown, and it's so foreign to the world. Not only, you know, to the American population, but to the rest of the world as well. So I'm actually incredibly proud of her for being open about it, because a lot of Hollywood does not like to talk about it.
Yes.
We've had some exceptional people come through our office. We're very lucky. We're one of the largest fertility centers on the west coast of the United States, which immediately makes us one of the top in the world. So people come to us from all over the world, especially a lot of the Hollywood crowd.
So let me ask you this. If people are coming to you from all over the world, you must be extra special. What is it? What is that special sauce that you throw in there?
You know, that's a really good question, and people have told me different things. I feel like my heart is into it 100%. Yeah. I've really dedicated my life to doing this and doing a really good job at it. My heart kind of goes into everything I do in life, especially my career. And since I know that it makes such a drastic change in people's lives, and it can make such a change in just everything. And I've had to go through fertility treatments with my own wife. I have 4 kids, but my middle two are twins from IVF.
Yeah.
We had our own little struggles that, thank God, ended really beautifully. And my twins turned 7 yesterday. So it's been, thank you. Thank you very much.
4. That's a handful.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's nice to get out of the house.
That's how we're here. Turning up with water.
Exactly. I know, what's up with this? In water, I thought definitely it'd be tequila. Isn't this the Shaw's of Sunset?
Oh, yeah.
We have some in the back.
Yeah, but we got to stay sober for the show. But I just wanted to go back, you know, when you mentioned that a lot of people shy away from this topic, you know, of IVF. Why do you think the general public shies away from that?
So 15 years ago, when I entered this field, I have to say, like, people did not want to talk about their fertility. I think there is an ego that goes along. There's a certain amount of like manliness and also being a woman and knowing that you can achieve. It's the ultimate gift that you have as a human being. Absolutely. To reproduce. I mean, nothing higher than that, in my opinion. Exactly. We're all here because of that. And, I think there's a lot that goes along with that. And I think that people are really shy and don't talk about it. What I'm very proud of over the last 15 years, there's been some amazing movements. When Michelle Obama says she did IVF to have her kids, I mean, that's an amazing movement. Yeah, and absolutely. That is important for this country to know that it can affect everyone. It can affect even the First Lady and the President of the United States of America. Wow. So I'm very proud of the people that talk about it. We've been open about it, my wife and I, and so many people have come up to, especially my wife, when I'm not around, just to ask her questions.
Wow.
And I really look up to someone like MJ, who really put it all out there.
She didn't hide anything. No.
From the beginning all the way through to the end. I mean, she just kind of put it out there. And it's thank God she had a great outcome. We worked very hard. It was not easy. Yeah. But she did every single thing right.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it worked out really well for her.
It did. It did. I'm so happy for her. And I'm so happy that you were able to facilitate that. I was watching you on The Doctors as well. And was it Molly?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Molly Sims has been also an amazing voice for the world of fertility.
Yes.
Molly and I go back to when she came before she had even met her husband. She came in to think about freezing her eggs. And the next thing I know, she's like, I've met the most amazing guy. The next thing, they were engaged. The next thing, they were married.
She had a baby.
And then before she had a baby, she was incredibly, incredibly proactive and smart. And realized that she was not 28 years old, and she knew she wanted to have a good-sized family, and she and Scott made beautiful embryos that have been sitting there waiting for them all this time, but she's done incredibly well on her own, and she has 3 beautiful children. But when we were on the TV shows, and we've done multiple things together, the fact that she talks about the idea that she knew she had something on ice took so much pressure off of her.
Which probably helped her get pregnant, really.
Anyone who's just relieved and knows, okay, well, if this doesn't work, I have a backup plan.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of pressure off. When you have backup plan, that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Absolutely.
When you're 40 years old and your fertility's already declined significantly.
Yeah.
So we're very proud of Molly. She's an amazing human being, and I love the fact that she talks about it, and she probably has sent more friends of hers in to see me than any other patient that I've ever had.
Wow, yeah, she seems like an amazing person. And I was watching the interview, and she just was, I mean, you have to think about it. She could have easily just kind of like been, I went in and this didn't happen for me. I didn't have to use it, and just kind of like push it to the wayside. But she actually like promoted it, even though she didn't have to do it. And so that says a lot about a person.
That says a lot about her. And she's
about you.
Well, I appreciate that. She called me. I said, Molly, we need to talk about this. And she said, I'll go on the show if you're going to go. I'll do anything you want me to do.
Wow.
And she supports me so much, and I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
She's been amazing. There have been quite a few people. We help a lot of people in the LGBT world as well.
Yes.
This weekend in San Francisco, I'm going to be at a big meeting called Men Having Babies. We help all intended.
I'm from the Bay Area.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I'll be flying out tomorrow.
We're
going to be all set day Saturday and Sunday at this big, big meeting that introduces the world of fertility for gay couples. And teaches them and lets them know what they can do. We've had some phenomenal parents.
Lance Bass, right?
Lance, Lance actually just sent me a video that we're going to be showing about his journey. And Lance has been incredibly proactive in the world of helping LGBT getting rights and moving forward, and with the movie Milk. And he's just an unbelievable human being. His husband, Tom Daly, too.
I bet. It's so funny. I'm actually going to be working at his new restaurant, Rocco's, in West Hollywood.
No way.
He's the owner. So I will have to say hello to him from you.
I'll have to
mention this. We have the live feed open right now. We have somebody here by the name of Sam Moore. He says to say hello to Dr. Goodyear. And so far, that is the only person that's said something in the feed. We've got 3 people watching. Say something.
Well, say something.
Ask questions.
Thanks for saying hi.
Give us some more, you guys.
So what is it like for you doing work like this for the LGBTQ community?
Incredibly, incredibly rewarding.
I bet.
So it's it would be impossible for the LGBTQ community to have children if it wasn't for the assistance of fertility specialists. And the fact that people go out of their way, and sometimes for a female lesbian couple or a single lesbian, it's much easier. Obviously, it's just you get some sperm and you put it in at the right time of the month. We've had more complicated cases where we take eggs from one female, make embryos, and put them into another female. That's called reciprocal IVF, which is beautiful. Everyone's participant. One mom makes the baby, one mom carries the baby. But for gay couples, for men doing this, there's a lot involved.
Yeah.
From picking the egg donor, from picking your surrogate, from the legal documents, from everything else involved in it. It takes a while. It's costly.
Yes.
And there is so much emotion involved with the ups and downs and everything that goes along with this.
Doctor, when you say it takes a while, like what's the comparison between, for example, a gay couple and maybe a straight couple? Like, can you walk
us through that? So if a husband and wife come into the office with... Everything always begins with the menstrual cycle. So as soon as you get a menstrual cycle, which is going to be maximum 4 weeks away for most people, we proceed and we begin the cycle. We start injections. We get the eggs out. We start making embryos. We do genetic testing. For a gay couple, it's completely different. So we evaluate both men, make sure they have good sperm. Then it's the search to find the perfect egg donor. You have to look through profiles, and you finally find one that you like. Then we have to bring them in. They're not all local. Sometimes they fly in from all parts of the country.
Wow.
They fly in. We have to do all these tests on them. It takes about 3 weeks to get the results back. We have to make sure that they have good fertility. We have to make sure that they're going to be a good potential donor that's going to make good number of eggs. And then we have to go through the process of IVF for the donor. We make the embryos. Almost everyone these days do genetic testing on the embryos to make sure that the embryos are healthy.
Yeah, I was hearing you talking about that online. That,
yeah, that's a huge thing.
That's so
thing.
Crazy.
It's
and you can pick
thing.
The sex of the child too,
well,
right?
With the genetic testing that checks for all 46 chromosomes of an embryo comes the X and the Y chromosome
wow.
as well. So we know by the time the genetic testing is done, which embryo is a male, which embryo is a female.
Nice.
Do you ever have anybody request not to know what
yes,
it is?
Yes, once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do? Any, mini, miny, mo?
we usually give instructions to the IVF laboratory, and I have some of the best embryologists in the city working in my lab. We tell them to please go ahead and pick the best embryo. So they'll look at all of
okay.
them. And they've had situations wow. when they had two embryos that were identical in quality. And I asked them, what do they do? And they actually say they flip a coin.
Nice.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was such an extensive
yeah,
process. So I'm glad that you clarified
so
that.
So once you've made
yeah.
the embryo, by the way, then you have to find your surrogate. And then you have to screen your surrogate and then make sure the surrogate is fine. And during all of these times, there's legals,
wow.
legal documents that have to be done for the egg donor,
that's
for the surrogate.
That's like Kim Kardashian done. Yeah.
Everyone yeah. does. It's part of it. I mean, no matter who you are, you have to have legal documents. And then the embryo goes into the surrogate and then it takes, and then you got to wait 9 months to deliver. So it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Do you ever go through a psychological process with your patients? Because I know this can be such an emotional
great
process.
Question.
So
great
many,
question.
Many of our patients are required to see a psychologist or a therapist that specializes in the world of fertility. Whether you're donating your egg, whether you're carrying a baby for someone else as a surrogate, or whether it's you going through that process so that you know what to expect and you know what's going to be up for you down the line. So when we have couples that, let's say a female who's 40 years old or 45 years old and her eggs are no longer good and she has to use an egg donor, we want her to be aware of the topics that are going to come up in her life 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, talking to her kid. So we require that they see a therapist or a psychologist beforehand.
Wow, that's
awesome.
So they give them the information that they need. So when that time comes, they'll be able to...
Well, they just want to be... First of all, we want people to understand what they're doing. Okay? So I explain things very thoroughly. It's one of the reasons that, like you said, people like to come to me is that we talk. It's just like I'm talking with you
yeah.
now. And I make sure that everyone leaves my office understanding everything that I said. So that's really important. But I want them to address other things that I may not be addressing with them. What is your kid going to ask you at the age of 13 if the kid doesn't look anything like anyone in the family? Or what is, you know, and they go, there are books that you can go through your kid that mommy had to borrow an egg from someone else.
Oh, that's
there are
nice.
All these little things that people do. There are lots of people that are really open from the beginning with their kids, which I really love because then there's no issues down the line rather
yeah.
than just one day at the age of 20 throwing it on your kid.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
yeah.
right?
I had a friend where that happened to to a friend of hers, but it was adoption thing, but it was very, very traumatic.
I'm always about being really honest.
Absolutely.
That's always important. Yeah.
Can I ask you, did Reza and Adam?
I was going to ask that. Yes, that was great. Yes,
oh,
I was wondering
that.
Yet,
so maybe we shouldn't spoil it, but have they inquired?
You know, I've been told that they're very interested. I was watching the show myself, and I saw that they went to a colleague of mine at a different practice.
Oh, okay.
It didn't look like it had gone really well. They might be coming. They might be coming. I ran into Reza and Adam, and I told them if they ever needed anything, to feel free to let me know.
Okay. Nice. So love to see that.
Same person is asking here, will you be on Shaw's in the future if they continue?
If they continue and they ask me to, and it's done tastefully the way it always has been, yes. I'm more than happy to.
Absolutely.
I really enjoy doing the show. They've never done anything crazy, and it's been actually really respectful and very nice and very informative and educational. So I would do it again if they asked me to, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So speaking of crazy, I guess one of them asks as well about MJ and if she was as crazy as she is now as she was in high school.
So that's really interesting. I think I missed a lot of the craziness. So in high school, I thought MJ was a lovely, lovely girl. I always have thought, and I still think she's a lovely person. You know, I have to say, I do think that once you go into the world of reality TV, and no one wants to just see someone boring.
Yeah.
And they got to spice it up, and they do. I think their lives have become more exciting as they've entered this world and the people that are on the show with them. It is a show.
Yes.
But she was a lovely person growing up. And to be honest, I think she's an amazing human being right now with a really good heart and a lovely person now as well.
Yes. She was really nice when she came on. We really adored her.
She's awesome.
She's very warm and inviting.
She's one of those people that you got to get to know.
Yeah.
And I've learned in life not to judge a book just by the cover and from like the little things that you see.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Can we talk a little bit about, because I know I was actually discussing this topic with some of my friends, and we're kind of up there in age. I know, you know, don't look like it, you know.
Black don't crack, girl.
Yeah, black don't crack. You already know. And so some women can feel like the complications that they're having to, you know, get pregnant and produce a child. Like, what are some of the, what causes this really? Because sometimes we can feel like, oh, it's my fault or it's the man's fault. Like,
well, it's no one's fault.
Yeah.
Okay. No one does this on purpose to not be able to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the number one causes of women and men having difficulty having kids now is waiting too long. If you think about your parents, most of our parents had kids in their 20s. Like, my dad was 24 and 26, and he was done having kids.
Wow.
Like, I didn't get married till I was 35 years old.
My friend's grandma got married at 14. And she had 16 kids.
Oh, good Lord.
So, you know,
God bless her.
It was very, very typical in old-day Iran. Yes. My grandmother came from a very small town outside of the capital and had 7 kids. She got married when she was 13 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was very typical. Right. You know, they would just kind of assign you when you were like 9, 10, 11 years old, you're going to marry Abraham.
Yeah.
And then Abraham's parents would come and take you over to their house, and that's your wedding and you're done. And that's kind of, you live with them.
Yeah.
And as soon as you could have children, you'd start having children. Yeah. And that's just kind of how it was. So people, you know, young women don't really have that many problems getting pregnant.
Okay.
In this day and age, because of STDs, because of environmental factors, I do see younger women coming in. But honestly, less than 5% of the women that come into my office because they're having problems are in their 20s.
So speaking of having problems, I know that there has been a lot of talks, and you'll see like commercials, or you'll see people come out and talk about, or women, I should say, about endometriosis and adenomyosis.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, I mean, obviously it's been around for a long time. Is the technology finally here where they're able to discuss it? And what are the differences between the two? Because I know Gabrielle Union had adenomyosis. I, by the way, do as well. I'm going to share that.
Oh, wow.
So I always think about that.
So it's a very, first of all, adenomyosis and endometriosis are very, very common. They are painful issues that happen when the inside lining of the uterus that you slough off, it's what comes out of your body when you're having your period, actually grows in areas outside of the uterus. So when that lining of your uterus is growing on your ovaries, on your fallopian tubes, on your intestines, in your pelvis, just outside of the uterus, when you are going through your menstrual cycle, when it gets inflamed and poof, begins and the flow begins, that inflammation and that thickening also is happening on your organs. So the pain is intense. Imagine that's happening on your intestines and your ovaries. It also causes scarring. So whatever it grows on, if it's your fallopian tubes, it scars them. It scars the ovaries. It can decrease your fertility. It can decrease your egg quality. It can do everything horrible for fertility. The treatment is obviously freezing your eggs, the earlier the better. Trying to get pregnant the earlier the better. People can go in surgically and remove the endometriosis, which grows on different spots. Adenomyosis and is when
how
there's
do you say it? I've been saying
adeno.
Wrong.
Well, you said it. You gave it a nice little twist to it.
Yeah. I've been saying it wrong the entire time. Yes,
so,
go ahead.
So
sorry.
Adenomyosis is when the lining of your uterus, instead of being just inside the uterus, this is the uterus and the lining is here. It kind of grows into
within, right?
It grows into the wall of the uterus. Yeah. So that can affect implantation of an embryo. So
it can crush it, right?
Well, it's not that it crushes, but it has different blood flow. It has a different formulation than normal tissue. It has different chemical compositions of the lining of the uterus. So an embryo that normally goes and just has normal endometrium and just poof, sticks itself and implants may have a little harder time. Now, there are medications that you can take that put you into a so-called menopause. And they allow the body to kind of just like all estrogen levels come down and it takes the fuel away from endometriosis and adenomyosis. So when you go into menopause, endometriosis and adenomyosis kind of go away because your estrogen levels are really low. When we give you these injections and it turns your cycle off for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it may be, you get relieved from all of this. And usually right afterwards, people sometimes get pregnant like that quickly because it calms things down and the tubes are open. But eventually it comes back again. So there is no long-term treatment. No. There are things to do to help the pain go down. There's some great medications out there now. There are other medications that kind of make the endometriosis go away for a bit. But again, you can't get pregnant with them. So it can be complicated. The number one thing that we recommend for patients that have adenomyosis or endometriosis would potentially be to freeze eggs and embryos.
Okay, and but like you said, doesn't it make it difficult for women to get pregnant even when?
So if you have some beautiful embryos, and then we put you on a treatment to kind of shrink the adenomyosis the best we can with that shot for a couple of months, and then the embryo is ready to go, hopefully it doesn't grow back that quickly. We have a chance to get it to implant.
Okay,
so you're talking about these things, and what I'm thinking is, okay, when it's time for me. When I'm ready to have children, what symptoms should I be looking for to make sure that I do not have? I'm about to mess up the word too.
Endometriosis. So endometriosis it usually comes along with very, very painful periods. It's very uncomfortable to have intercourse, especially with anything that's deep penetration, because as it hits your uterus, behind the uterus, there's ligaments that grow endometriosis on them. So that stretching really hurts. These are the kind of the things that kind of go along with it and also causes a lot of internal scarring. You probably wouldn't know other than the number one symptom of very painful periods if you have endometriosis.
So how do they diagnose the two? Is there like an indefinite diagnosis? Because from my understanding and my experience, it's always been sort of like, well, this is as much as we know.
So adenomyosis, there are certain MRIs that really can see the uterus and see where the lining is growing into.
Okay.
Endometriosis, the number one way to diagnose it is to do surgery, laparoscopy, where we put a camera into the belly button. You go in, and when you see these little brown or reddish spots, you can biopsy one and you send it off for pathology.
Oh, wow.
And the pathologist confirms, yes, that's endometriosis. But the problem is this, you can do surgery and sometimes see nothing, but you can have endometriosis.
Wow.
And there are some people that when you go in and look, they have just a little bit of endometriosis and a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And there are some people you go in and it's a complete mess of scar tissue
and
they barely have any pain.
That's so funny.
It really depends where the endometriosis grows. Is it growing on nerves? Is it growing on anything that could really potentially cause a lot of discomfort?
Wow.
Okay, so doctor, I'm already 32.
So now that we're doing fertility consultations today and we're done talking about the shot of sunset, I'm going to say this because I want everyone to hear this. Any woman who has hit the age of 30 and has no plans of having a child with a plan, like a ring on your finger, a plan of getting married and having a kid soon, should freeze their eggs.
Yeah.
Our office has a program that allows you to freeze your eggs, and there is a financing option that we've arranged for our patients that gets it down to $181 a month.
Yes, I read that. That's pretty amazing.
So that is our CFO has been amazing. He's worked with some lending teams that help with fertility patients. And, you know, $181 I think is doable for almost anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you hear absolutely. That,
guys? Oh my gosh, I can freeze my eggs, you guys. This is exciting.
And the earlier you do it, the better will be the eggs and the more eggs you will. Okay.
So if people wanted to contact you, where would be the best place? Would it be through the internet? Would it be through
phone? The best way to call and make an appointment to see me is through our phone call, to call Southern California Reproductive Center. That's where I'm a partner, and that's where I've been working my entire career. We're located in the heart of Beverly Hills. SCRC's phone number is 310-277-2393, and there'll be a prompt if you want to make an appointment with Dr. Gadir. You push it, and you're right there.
That's great.
We get people in very quickly. If anyone is ever diagnosed with cancer and has still not had children or not done having children, whether it's a male or a female, we get you in like that. We have special programs. Okay. That's called oncofertility. Cancer and fertility, where we freeze things for them immediately so they have that. So many people survive and do incredibly well with cancer treatments these days that we want them to have that opportunity to have more kids and not get chemotherapy and radiation and be done.
So does that affect the body?
Chemotherapy and radiation can destroy your fertility for permanently for the future.
Do you hear that, guys? Thank you for mentioning that, because I think us, most people, we don't know this. Right. And I think, you know, educating people out here is really important. That's why we're so happy that you came on.
Thank
because
you.
This really does help not just, you know, us. It really helps everyone, you know, and it shows that, like, everybody goes through something, absolutely. Right?
Everybody goes through something. And, you know, we put a lot of information, by the way, our Instagram for SCRC, IVF is a really good one. My own personal Instagram, I think, is fantastic in terms of educating people. It's called Dr. Shaheen Gadir, and there is a lot of information that we put out there. We have these events every 1 to 2 months that are in my office and an auditorium.
You're having one this
it's
month.
A patient educational event. If you attend, your consultation to come and see any physician in our practice is complimentary because we know you're serious.
I will be there.
Yes. And it's very, very, very...
It's on the 23rd, right? January 23rd?
January 23rd. Mm-hmm. I don't know what day it is, but I'm going to be there.
Yes.
It's on our website. When you go to scrcivf.com, on the side, there is a place you can just RSVP and you can attend. It's very educational.
And it'll be in Beverly Hills, you guys.
It's in Beverly Hills. We have an auditorium in our building where
that's
we
amazing.
Work. Yes.
That's
it's
really
a beautiful
cool.
room where you get a presentation and some delicious snacks. And
I'm going just for the snacks, you guys.
We used to serve wine. Food. I don't know what happened. I guess it just where your tequila went is where our wine went to the kitchen.
I just have to ask you, how did you get started in all of this? Because you seem very passionate about it. And, you know, you need more people like that that are doctors, because not every doctor is necessarily that passionate about what it is that they do. How did you get into this? How did you narrow it down?
So I knew I wanted to be a doctor always. Once I went to medical school, I realized there are some things in medicine that I just could not handle being around, like very sick people. And that was, I'm like, whoa, I became a doctor and I can't handle being around really sick people. You know, it would emotionally really get me. Like my friends that were with me, we'd go see like a patient that was dying in med school with our attending physicians. We'd walk out, it didn't affect them. Like for 1 week, I was like teary and thinking about that person. So I decided to do obstetrics and gynecology.
Wow.
A more festive area of medicine. And I absolutely loved delivering babies. I really loved dealing with a younger crowd of patients. My personality worked well with females. It was everything about it was good. It was a nice mix of surgery and clinic and everything else that we do. One day, I don't know what happened, and it just hit me, like, running to do deliveries in the middle of the night, as much as they were fun, are very difficult on your body.
Yeah, I bet.
And I really do miss delivering babies. I really do. But I decided to do a rotation that every resident at the hospital where I trained does, and I kind of fell in love with this little niche of fertility. I mean, it's one of the most advancing sciences in medicine, rapidly changing and all these drastic things, life-changing, what you can do for people. I really found the science behind it to be great. It was a perfect amount of surgery and clinic and patients. And I really loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I applied for the fellowship program, which was at Cedars and UCLA. And I didn't realize that like hundreds and hundreds of people had applied and there was only one spot and I got it.
Wow. So There's a reason.
I was very, very honored. I had a phenomenal fellowship program. And during that time, we worked for 6 months at Southern California Reproductive Center, where I work now and I'm a partner. And they asked me after a month of being there if I would like to join them when I'm done. And I was a little cocky, and I'm like, well, I'll see. and I was very lucky that year.
You got to play your cards right.
There was only me. I was the only fellow that graduated in Southern California that year, and I interviewed at every clinic out there, and I think I made a really good choice staying at SCRC.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I've been there my whole career, and it's been about 8 or 9 years that I'm a partner there.
Wow.
Amazing.
What an incredible job that you have, really.
Thank you.
That must be an amazing profession to be in, especially because, like you said, there's so many advances now, and technology is just like, it's just going. What is like the one thing that you have seen that in technology that has made such a huge difference in this specific category?
That's a really question. So I think the one thing over the last 15 years of observing, well, there's a lot of things. A lot of things have changed. But the capabilities of what we can do inside of the IVF lab and how well we can grow an embryo and allow it to get to the point of doing genetic testing, which is the key.
Yes.
Which is the key why MJ is pregnant now. Yes. By genetically testing embryos and seeing which one is the normal healthy one and picking that one out of a big group and putting that one into someone is huge. Our clinic loves and really encourages people to do genetic testing on embryos because we don't want to just stick an embryo into someone blindly. A lot of clinics don't have the technology to get the embryo to that point. So we're very lucky. And I think that's been one of the biggest changes in the world. But we've had so many. We have cameras that take pictures of your embryos, thousands of them a day while they're growing in the incubator. The world of surrogacy and egg donation have just changed drastically. I mean, surrogacy is just going like this.
Yeah.
We can't even keep up with surrogates in our country.
No. I have a cousin that went to Mexico and had a surrogate there. Yeah,
wow.
And it was way more like affordable there. I think it was like $60,000 or something cheap.
It's definitely some of these things are more affordable in other countries, but definitely I hear about it, but the complications and everything else that happens with it can be much worse.
Well, she's from there. And then her husband and her moved to Texas. Mm. He's from Texas. And so she kind of was like doing, I guess, research in Texas, and she realized how much it was going to cost. Mm. And they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So then they ended up going to Mexico.
But you kind of get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, I mean, it worked. She had it with two children.
Which is good, but what type of complications could...
You know, I've had patients of mine that went to India to do it, and they came back and they said, you would just not believe what we saw. A surrogate gets paid, I've heard something like $500 for 9 months of being pregnant. They leave their hometowns to say they're going to work, and they lay in a house for 9 months to just be pregnant. And they go back, and they don't tell anyone they ever did that because they're ashamed. I don't think that's fair.
No,
and actually, the laws have changed. No. And in a lot of countries like Thailand and also like in India, it's become illegal because they really abused the system and did such horrible things to people.
That's awful. That's too bad. See, we're learning more
and more things. Yeah, I didn't know this. This is amazing.
Either. Yeah, that's so crazy. It's a whole new world. Like, for literally, I can't even fathom, there must be so much stuff that you guys know that we're just not hearing about.
Right.
I would like to see maybe, a show that's dedicated to this or a program dedicated to this, maybe even a documentary or something.
Yeah.
There have been some. I don't think there's ever been a really good one. I think that we are definitely in need for it. The problem when, we used to have right before Octomom happened, were a ton of people coming to do documentaries and things like that, but then it became a little bit more reality TV.
Yeah, like a circus.
I did this thing once, it was called Fertility Docs, but they came to film in my house and they were just telling me to take shots. And I was like, this is not going in the direction that I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And, so I don't think anyone's ever done it well. I think it's lacking. I really like the fact that, for example, Lance and Tom, they just did a BBC special on surrogacy for the UK.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge. And really proud of them for doing that. I think there's going to be more big stations and big shows doing more documentary style things to inform people. But unfortunately, it takes people like in Hollywood to get the message out. And those are the people that have a voice.
Yeah, yeah. And they're finally, you know, I think they're feeling comfortable now to have a voice.
Yes, right? They are. People are not hiding it and being shamed by it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Sure. This is really good information. Yeah. I'm just taking it all in because I'm glad we're having this discussion because I know a lot of our viewers, male and female, you know, young. We got some young.
Yeah, I want to address that for men too. You know, yeah. It's not just women whose egg quality goes down rapidly. Men continue to make sperm their entire life, but studies have shown that there may be some links of autism when you're trying to have a kid after 40.
Wow.
And things can happen. There's no clear links, but definitely there's abnormalities, genetic and chromosomal, that can happen with sperm as it gets older as well.
Wow.
And we have a lot of guys that come into the office just to freeze their sperm.
Really? No way. Yeah.
It's nothing like the women walking in to do it, but we're trying to get it out there, and we're trying to figure out someone in Hollywood that wants to be our first person to kind of just spread the news on social media and everything that they froze.
Justin Bieber.
They froze their sperm because they wanted to have kids down the line.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Okay, let's say a male comes in and he has a low sperm count, right?
That's one of the easiest things that we can treat.
Okay.
So we have a process when we take the female eggs, a bunch of them from her body, we put the sperm under a microscope. And under the microscope, we're able to, even if it's a really, really low count, we're able to pick the sperm, put it into a special needle. That needle then just goes and gets injected into the egg. So you don't have to have millions of sperm.
Okay.
We have guys that have zero sperm. And we have our urology colleagues come. They stick a needle right into a special spot on the testicle, and they suck a few sperm out, and then they give it to us, and then we get that sperm into the egg, and then we make an embryo.
Yeah, I saw you talking about that.
So it's called intracytoplasmic sperm injection, or ICSI. And that can help really a lot with guys that have low sperm count.
Okay, so there's a solution, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? It's so crazy. Now I just want to keep asking questions. Okay, so can a guy have... is there a possibility for them not to have babies at all? And what would be the cause of that?
Oh, yeah. It can happen. I mean, there are some guys that don't make sperm at all.
Really?
There are some guys.
What causes that?
Right.
Usually, just like you would have a premature menopause, we have premature testicular failure.
Wow.
So if their hormones turn off and they stop making... guys that use steroids, their sperm production turns off completely, zero.
Oh, my gosh.
But if they stop... within 3 months, it comes back.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So I had a guy today, a lovely couple that came to see me recently. The husband had zero sperm, and I noticed he was kind of buff, and he does use some steroids. He stopped and rechecked it today, and his sperm looked absolutely perfect.
Wow.
Okay.
She was so happy.
Well, I didn't talk to her, but he was ecstatic.
Oh, okay.
I bet he was. Okay. I have another question regarding the causes of like low sperm count, because a lot of people are saying, because you know, marijuana is legal out here. Can that cause a low sperm count?
So studies, it's a really good question. Yes, it's legal and anyone who wants can smoke marijuana, but smoking and also the use of marijuana and obviously other illicit drugs have a very, very detrimental effect on sperm and egg.
Really?
Yes.
What about alcohol? Wine, so, tequila. I drink tequila here and there.
So,
wow.
I think drinking here and there
is
perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're getting to the level of being an alcoholic, it affects your liver. Your liver is where your steroid and sex hormones come from and get cleared. Yes. So it can affect your hormone levels in many, many ways.
Wow. Oh, Lord.
You'd be all right, girl.
I'm going to have to cut back on some things.
You didn't think the show was going to be so stressful tonight.
Yeah.
I really think someone needs to bring the tequila in.
This is such a good informative thing to talk about, because people are, you know, using, you know, drugs and, you know, whatnot. Like, it's such an open, free, you know, type of... I mean, we live in California, you know what I mean? I'm from San Francisco. So many hippies there, you know? So you're just like, whoa, Well, not me personally, but, you know, they are. So it's good to know and to be educated, because I think that a lot of people think that they, you know, have gotten away with it, you know? Okay, here's another question then. Let's say somebody... smokes a lot, or you know, whatever, drugs, whatever. I guess it would be weed. So specifically for weed, let's say somebody smokes a lot of weed, right? A guy, and he has children. Does that affect his children?
It can. Yeah. So
really?
What happens with, well, it can, first of all, any drug can affect your offspring, okay? Some worse than others, okay? Weed can make the quality of sperm worse.
Really?
So if one of those bad sperm decide to be the one to take and make an embryo, you could have a miscarriage because the embryo is abnormal. Or it can do anything that we won't ever be able to say this is just because he smoked weed. Wow. So that's the problem. Right now we can't really say all those things.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a good chance that a good sperm will make it in, and that'll be the strong one, and the ones that maybe were affected more by the marijuana are weaker. In general speaking, though, it has been shown in research that smoking and also the use of drugs and marijuana affect both egg quality, which is irreversible.
So even cigarettes?
Yes, 100%.
Wow, that's crazy.
And cigarettes make your sperm slower and also make them look abnormal.
Wow. Do you think that research will start to change and people will be able to, or not people, but doctors will be able to find, like, specifically, like, what was the cause of why a embryo?
You know, it's hard to imagine that, but I'm sure someday it's going to. The technology always goes to surprise us and things get figured out. Yeah. So I'm sure someday it will. I'm not sure if it's going to happen anytime soon, but yeah. I'm sure it will.
I mean, you'd be surprised nowadays, you know, you turn around and you're like, wait, that's a talking robot, can make eggs. You see all kinds of stuff. I guess, let's see. Is there any other questions here? I guess one of the guests here is asking if you have an opinion on the Shahs of Sunset.
So I actually think the Shahs of Sunset is a very interesting show. I don't agree with everything that's done, nor is it the way I live my life. And nor am I judgmental of people. So I'm glad when I see some of them working hard and prospering and doing better in their lives. That makes me really happy. Being a fellow Iranian who's kind of grown up in the area where they all live and have grown up and seen a lot of them, you know, it's nice to see them prosper. I think sometimes when they're doing things that are a little overboard, I think it's a bit much and it's embarrassing as a Persian.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be associated with it. But then again, it happens with every population. So,
yes.
You know, I think they're a great group of people and I wish them all the best.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Nicole, do you want to share something?
Yes. So we've had such a lovely conversation so far, but we just want to let our AfterBuzzes know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments so that way we can thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of talk TV.
Yay. It's true. It's true, you guys. You guys have to subscribe. You guys have to comment. You guys have to share, because it's, you know, these moments here that keep us alive. This is why we were able to bring in this guest this evening who shared a wealth of knowledge with us. So I certainly hope that you guys are tuning in every Thursday when we do have this show coming on.
I can't wait.
I mean, the season hopefully is starting again. Hopefully.
Yes. And then we'll see you there, hopefully.
Yes.
Get another guest.
And then we'll have to bring you back on if there's anybody else that you end up helping. That would be great to hear all about that and any new projects that you're working on.
If you follow my Instagram, you'll see who we're helping right now.
Oh, okay.
She's been very, very vocal.
Okay.
She's been very vocal about
it. I did follow it, but I didn't go digging through yet.
Yeah. You don't have to dig. It's all over, but you'll see.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I guess why don't you guys go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you?
Okay, doctor, I'm going to let you do the honors.
Well, thank you very much. I'm, again, Dr. Shaheen Gadir, and my practice is Southern California Reproductive Center. We're located in the heart of Beverly Hills. Our phone number is 310-277-2393, and I can also be found on Instagram as Dr. Shaheen Gadir, DrShaHin, and last name is GHADIR. And thank you so much for watching tonight.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Instagram at TheRealNicole, and that's Nicole with a Y.
And I am your host, Crystal McLaughlin. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. You can find me on all social media at Crystal823. That's with an I, not with an I. I mean, that's with an I, not with a Y. Thank you so much for tuning in again. And I guess we're just going to go ahead and say goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.